بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise. And he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we will have the second class from the series of the diseases of the heart, and we are learning about hypocrisy, which is a very severe heart disease related to the belief in Allah's oneness. And the title of the class of today is The Double-Faced People. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about hypocrisy, a disease of the heart which leads to corruption of the community. And the question is, what is the motive of hypocrisy in the heart? The answer is, it is the doubt of the hypocrite regarding the day of judgment and the paradise and the hellfire. Again and again, sisters, we must realize that people are lying, deceiving, they don't fulfill their trusts because basically they have a doubt regarding the day of judgment and the paradise and the hellfire. They think that they are true believers in Allah, and they are believers in the day of judgment and in the paradise and the hellfire. But when you observe their actions, you will realize that they have a problem. Why? Their actions are not like their sayings. They say something and they do something else. This means that they have a disease in their hearts. And this disease is that they are not sure 100%. They believe to some extent in the day of judgment and in the paradise and the hellfire, but not the true belief or the complete belief. Accordingly, sometimes they forget about the day of judgment and they don't follow the rules of Allah. So they lie, and they don't fulfill their trusts or covenants, and they betray and transgress, okay, others. Accordingly, we will learn now from the Quran the proof that the cause or the motive of hypocrisy in the hearts of the people is the doubt regarding the day of judgment and the reward of the paradise and the hellfire. So that when we are sure of the motive of hypocrisy, when we will treat hypocrisy, this will be the line of treatment regarding the belief and the true belief in the day of judgment and the paradise and the hellfire. Now we will learn two surahs from the Quran regarding that the doubt is the motive for the hypocrisy in the hearts of the Muslims. We will start with Surah number 4, Surah An-Nisa. We will read verse number 142 and 143. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal munafiqina yukhadi'un Allah wa huwa khadi'uhum wa idha qamu ila as-salati qamu kusala yura'una an-nasa wa la yadhkuruna Allah illa qalila mudhabdhabina bayna dhalika la ilaha ula'i wa la ilaha ula'i wa man yudlil Allah falan tajid lahu sabila. 142, 143.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Verily, the hypocrites seek to deceive Allah, but it is He who deceives them. And when they stand up for a salat, the prayer, they stand with laziness and to be seen of men, and they do not remember Allah but little. Their swaying between this and that, belonging neither to these nor to those, and he who Allah astray, you will not find for him a way to the truth, Islam.
Okay, thank you. Actually, sisters, as believers, that Allah knows the innermost secrets of the people's hearts, and even more deep, what is more deeply concealed. You know, sisters, as believers in the oneness of Allah, we must believe that Allah creates everything, Allah owns everything, Allah knows everything, Allah knows whatever in the hearts of every one of us, and more deep than this. Okay? This is one of the basics of the belief in Allah's oneness. Okay? So, if we have this belief clear in our spirits, okay, we must realize that none can deceive Allah. Because Allah knows what is in our hearts. Not what we say, but what we conceal in our hearts. Also, the believer will realize that the person who tries to conceive Allah must have within him a great measure of evil and ignorance. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that if I come and tell you, you know, Sister Zainab and Sister Rashida, I love you. I love you too much. You are revered sisters. You are the best sisters. I am saying this with my tongue. Sayings. But inside my heart, for example, I have something different. Okay? What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that I am deceiving Allah. Because I am saying something, okay, and hiding something else. Okay? This means that, number one, I have evil in my spirit. Why? Because none of the believers can think to deceive Allah. If I am a true believer in Him, I must know that He knows what is inside my heart. So how I can hide some feelings in my heart, believing that Allah doesn't know? Allah knows what I say only. This means that I have evil and I am not a believer. And this means that I am ignorant. I don't know who is Allah. If you are having the knowledge related to the oneness of Allah, you must believe that Allah knows about you more than you know about yourself. Allah knows about Mona more than what Mona knows about herself. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that I can tell you, sisters, you know, if my daughter will leave Houston, you know, I will cry day and night. I will not be able to survive without my youngest daughter, Yusr. But if it happens that Yusr, inshallah, will marry and will leave Houston, it happens that I live and I am in a very good shape. So what I was believing about myself or knowing about myself was wrong. Allah knows about me more than I know about myself. Accordingly, Allah make Yusr to leave me because Allah knows that I will survive and I will be in a very good shape. So, you must realize, sister, that none can deceive Allah, okay? But hypocrites are in no way eager to meet Allah as believers. Hypocrites, they are not interested to be believers in Allah, okay? They are not interested to stand up in prayers, feeling close to Allah, and depriving strength from Him at all. Hypocrites only rise to pray in order to be seen by people. Okay? Hence, they are very reluctant as they stand up. To them, prayer is a very hard job. It is not a mean for Allah's remembrance. Indeed, they remember Allah only very little. Instead, they remember people and try to be seen by them. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that sometimes in your life you meet some Muslims, okay, and the time of prayer will come, then you tell them, let us pray now. No, later. When, you know, after half an hour. Why, sister, let us pray now? No, let us enjoy time now. Let us sit together, let us eat, let us talk. This is a very nice meeting. I enjoy it. Prayer later on. Then, that sister whom she is saying these words, when she will notice that every sister, other sister will go and pray, she will feel that everyone will say that, I am not a true believer. No, I want all the people to feel that I am the best Muslim. Oh, okay, I will come and pray with you. You see? Now, when she remembers the people, and that the people will have the impression that she is not a true believer, for the sake of the people, she will stand and pray. Okay? But not for the sake of Allah. This is the character of the hypocrites, which Allah is clarifying that they never, you know, belong to Allah. Okay? What is the most important for the hypocrites is to have good relation with all the people. With everyone. I am in a good relation with the revered sisters inside the masjid. But I am also in a good relation with those whom they don't like, the revered sisters outside the masjid. Okay? And I am a good relation with the atheist, and I am a good relation with the believer. This not only a good relation means I have good manners and values. No, I am belonging. I can change my color all the time. Okay, when I am in the masjid, I have your color. When I am out of the masjid, I am with their color. When I am in Egypt, I have a totally different color. I can change my face and my attitude according to my benefit. The most important for me is my benefit. I want all to be my friends so that when I am in need of anything, I can get the help from everyone. This means that I am the winner. This is how, you know, they think that they deceive everyone. Okay? But in reality, they are deceiving themselves. Okay? So, Allah is mentioning in verse number 143, they are swaying between this and that belonging, neither to this nor to those. They never belong to anyone. When you tell me, Sister Mona, you belong to us, I tell you, yes. Yes, I belong to you. Sayings, okay, but in my heart I don't believe to anyone. Okay, I only belong to myself, to my benefits. Okay, and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, they are never able to take a solid position. When one sister will come and tell me, Sister Mona, you have to prove your reality. You are belonging to us, the reverse sisters, or you are with others whom they have doubt about our belief. I tell you, you know, sister, it is not easy to belong to one group. I love you and I love them. I belong to you and I belong to them. I belong to everyone. They never have a solid position, okay, regarding any issue in life, okay? As a result, they deserve not to be helped by Allah's guidance. Allah never guides those people, okay? And also, no one will be able to provide them with guidance or show them the straight path. Allah is punishing them by sending them away from guidance. If you think that you can deceive Allah, if you think that you can show good and conceal evil, believing that Allah doesn't know your reality, okay, out of guidance. Okay, so this is the proof that they are swaying between this and that, belonging neither to this nor to those. This is the doubt, okay, inside their hearts. Actually, sisters, in summary, the main characteristics of the hypocrites regarding prayers are, number one, they are lazy. Why they are lazy regarding prayers? Because they have doubt regarding its reward. They are not sure the reward of the prayer will be in the hereafter, but the hereafter is not very clear in my spirit. So regarding prayer, sometimes they are encouraged and sometimes they are lazy. Number two, they pray to be seen by people because people are the most important for them for the sake of their worldly benefits. Number three, they don't remember Allah during their prayers except a little because Allah is not the goal. Okay? This is based on their nature, which is swaying between the good and the evil. You know, sometimes they feel that, you know, belonging to Allah is good. Okay, I will pray now. After half an hour or after 2 hours, when Asr prayer will come, okay, Shaitan or Iblis is controlling them. Okay, Satan, so, no. I will pray later. I am not interested now. So they are all the time swaying between good and evil, between the right path and the evil path. They are not sure about any value or any belief. Everything is good. To believe in Allah is good. Not to believe in Allah is good. to do good is good, to do evil is good, everyone in life is good, okay? They don't have any solid value or belief. Okay, and actually, sisters, as Muslims, and as Muslim, we must be all the time worried about our belief. We must be all the time worried, okay, and questioning ourselves. Maybe I am a hypocrite. Maybe I have some signs of hypocrisy. What about my prayers? When the prayer time comes, I am interested, I am motivated, I run for prayer or not? When I pray, I remember Allah or I remember Him little? When I pray, I look for the people to know that I am praying, or I just hide and pray, you know, as a link between me and Allah only? Every believer must question herself about how she is evaluating prayers as a link with Allah, as a duty to prove the belief in His oneness, or an act to please the people and to get their benefit. Okay? The second proof regarding the hypocrite's doubt of the Day of Judgment, we will read it from Surah number 57, verse number 13 and 14. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور فاليوم لا يؤخذ منكم فدية ولا من الذين كفروا مأواكم النار هي مولاكم وبئس المصير. We will read 13 and 14 only. Okay.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. On the day when the hypocrites, men and women, will say to the believers, "Wait for us, let us get something from your light," it will be said, "Go back to your rear, then seek a light. So a wall will be put up between them with a gate therein. Inside it will be mercy, and outside it will be a torment." The hypocrites will call the believers, "Were we not with you?" The believers will reply, "Yes, but you led yourselves into temptations. You looked forward for our destruction. You doubted in faith, and you were deceived by false desires till the command of Allah came to pass. And the chief deceiver, Satan, deceived you in respect of Allah."
In these verses of the Quran is drawn before us, in which we see the believing men and women and a gently shining light radiating through them and flowing to their right. We then listen to the address made to the believers, men and women, combining honor and good news. In verse number 12, okay, Allah is saying to them, "Glad tidings for you this day. Gardens are under which rivers flow, paradise to dwell therein forever. Truly, this is the great success." This is what they will listen, the believers, as a reward from Allah for them, for their true belief on the Day of Judgment. Okay. The scene does not end with this pleasant image. We have a contrasting one in which we see the hypocrites, men and women, lost in error. They try to cling to the believers. "Wait for us. Let us have a ray of your light." As wherever the believers look, their gentle light spreads before them. You see, this is the reward for the believers on the Day of Judgment. And again, sisters, when you are a true believer in the worldly life, you will always have a light. Okay, internal light and external light. The internal light will be the light which will make you also to always to know the truth, to believe in the truth. Okay, it will make all your values clear, the values which are based on the belief in Allah's oneness. And the external light will help you to follow the right path, will help you to know what is right, what is wrong, what is evil, what is good. So in the worldly life, it is always that the believers are having light. Also, on the Day of Judgment, they will also have the light which is radiating from them. Accordingly, the hypocrites on the Day of Judgment will request, you know, the believers to give them from their light, okay? But actually, the reality is that how can the hypocrites who have spent all their life in darkness, enjoying even, how they can enjoy a ray of the light on the Day of Judgment? Those whom they don't have light in the worldly life, whom they choose to live their life in darkness, they will have no light on the Day of Judgment. This is the justice of Allah. Okay, if you are a true believer in this worldly life, obeying the commands, living Islam as a way of life, Allah will reward you with the light, so that Allah will help you to follow the right path all the time. Okay, and also He will reward you with the light on the Day of Judgment. Regarding the hypocrites whom they choose not to obey Allah, to live in darkness away from His commands, there will be no light in this life, and there will be never for them any light in the hereafter, because this is the justice of Allah. Okay? Actually, a voice coming from where they don't know tells them, turn back and seek some other light. What is the meaning of this? The believers told to them, we cannot give you light. Okay? A voice will come and tell them, turn back. Try to find any other light. But the light of the believers, you will not get any of that light. Okay? This voice is reminding the hypocrites of what they used to do in their worldly life when they engaged in hypocrisy. Immediately, a barrier will separate the believers from the hypocrites. These two groups were mixed in the first life, but now they are separated out. It appears that they cannot see through this wall, but it doesn't stop the people on both sides talking to each other. Now the hypocrites call out to the believers, asking them, were we not with you? Now the hypocrites are trying all the means to get the light. Okay? In spite of the fact a voice came to them and tell them, turn back, look for other light, still they are insisting, because this is their nature. If they have a benefit, looking for a benefit, they will be after the benefit. They will try all the means. So again, after the wall or the barrier is there between them and the true believer, they will still try to remind the true believer that they were with them in the worldly life. So now, let us be together and give us some of your light. Okay? The answer for them is that, yes, true believers and hypocrites will living together in the worldly life. But the hypocrites will living in the same place, but they turned away, you know, when they tell to the believers, we will living with you, so why now you are not giving us the light? The answer is that, yes, we will living together. But number one, you turned yourself away from the divine guidance. Okay? You wavered. You didn't make the right choice. You doubted. You could not bring yourselves to have certainty of faith and make the right choice. And you were deceived by false hopes. Okay? That is to say, you were always deluding yourselves, thinking that by holding the stick in the middle, you would ensure your safety in all situations, until Allah's command came to pass and all was lost. What is the meaning of this sister? The meaning of this sister is that in the worldly life, all the Muslims are living together. Because all these classes are related to the Muslims. Hypocrisy, we are learning hypocrisy in Islam. Okay? So yes, all the Muslims were living together. The true believers and the hypocrites. But the true believers were always following the true path, and they were always obeying the commands of Allah, their belief in Allah, in the decree of Allah, in the day of judgment was the true belief. They never have doubt. They never deceive themselves. Okay? But regarding the hypocrites, number one, they wavered. Okay? Moving to the evil or to the good. All the time, okay, they waver. Okay? And number two, and this is the most important, they doubted. Okay? They are not clear about the reality of the Day of Judgment. There is some doubt. Okay? And this doubt, okay, is different from a group of hypocrites to other group. Some of them have little doubt, okay, and some of them have great doubt. Okay? So they have the doubt. And number three, they deceived themselves by false hopes. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that my hope in this worldly life is to be the richest, the richest person, is to have the best qualification, is, you know, to enjoy life to the maximum. These are the false hopes. Why? Because life is a deceiving enjoyment. Okay, how I will deceive myself if I am a true believer in the oneness, in Allah's oneness, believing that this life is just a test and the real life will be the life to come, inshallah, in the paradise, the eternal happiness. Okay, so if I say, sisters, I am a true believer, then you tell me, Sister Mona, what are your hopes? I tell you, my hope is the best car, is the best house, is the best clothes. You tell me, this is good, Sister Mona, no problem. But you don't have other hopes regarding paradise, regarding the Day of Judgment. I tell you, no, no. All my hopes are related to the worldly life. So, you tell in yourself, she is a hypocrite. Immediately. Okay? Because the true believer in the oneness of Allah will be looking for a good worldly life. This is not illegal in Islam, this is legal. If you have the legal money, you can have the best life, okay, in this worldly life, but this is not my goal. This is not my main goal. My main goal is to use all this money, okay, for the sake of having good life, so that I can worship Allah in the best situations to make my life easy, being a worshiper of Allah. But the most important for me is the eternal life. I am looking for the eternal life. I am looking for the paradise. This wealth in the worldly life, for me, is the way to the paradise. It is not my main goal. No, it is a reason. Okay? It is a source. Okay, to help me to reach the paradise. Okay, but those hypocrites were not having this belief. Okay, accordingly, always the hypocrites, how to know the hypocrites, as I clarified to you, is that they are all the time wavering. What is the meaning of this? I am holding the stick in the middle. If Sister Rashida will be the one to win, okay, I will move to Sister Rashida. If Zainab will be the one to win, okay, very simple, I will move to Zainab. If none of them, I will be in the middle. And as soon as I know who is the winner, who can give me the best benefit, I will move immediately to that person. Okay, I am not to the right or to the left. I am very intelligent. I can deceive all. I am in the middle. Okay, this is the reality of the true believer, of the hypocrites. Okay, and Allah is mentioning to them, indeed, you let your deceptive thoughts about Allah delude you, because they don't know who is Allah, because they don't know the power and will of Allah, because they don't know about the Day of Judgment. Okay, this deceptive thoughts about Allah delude them. Actually, we must know that these thoughts were whispered by Satan, who deceived those hypocrites by raising the false hopes before their eyes. What is the meaning of this? Satan is the main enemy of the human being. Whenever he knows that Zainab is trying to be a true believer, believing that I must live this worldly life to do as much as I can of the good deeds, so that inshallah I will be in the paradise, the shaitan will come, or Satan or Iblis will come to Zainab and tell her, "Oh Zainab, what is going on?" He will whisper, "Something will come to you in your spirit. What is this? You are not logic. You can live the worldly life to the best, and also you can have the paradise. Don't worry, don't worry. But try to enjoy life. Okay? Why you are praying the five prayers? This is too much. Why to wake up at 5 o'clock to pray Fajr? No, no, no. Your health will not be in a good shape. Forget about Fajr prayer. Don't worry. Allah is the most forgiving. Yes, Allah will forgive you, Zainab. Forget about Fajr prayer and forget about Aisha prayer. Also, you are so tired at the end of the day taking care of your kids and serving everyone at home. Forget about these two prayers. Try to pray Dhuhr prayer. But at Dhuhr, she is at work. Okay, Zainab, what do you want the people to say about you in America? That you are an extremity praying during the work? No, no, no. Don't pray any prayer at work. Wait until you go home. And when she will reach home, he will whisper to her, "Forget about prayer. You are tired, and Allah is the most forgiving. Tomorrow, inshallah, you can restart the prayers." Okay, and tomorrow he will whisper to her with the same message. By time, she will forget completely about prayers. But Zainab, you are still on the right path. Have great hopes. You will enjoy the summer in Florida. You will enjoy the winter in, you know, this and that. Okay, life is still beautiful. Do you think that if you forget about prayers, anything will happen to you in this worldly life? No, no, nothing will happen to you. Enjoy the worldly life as you can. These are the false hopes which most of the people are trying to have as a way to enjoy the worldly life. But they forget that they are false. This is deceiving enjoyment. Every one of us who can reflect for 15 minutes will realize that none of the materialistic enjoyments of the worldly life can make the spirit happy at all. Yes, I am after the car to make me happy, but it doesn't. I am after the qualification to make me happy, but I have the qualification, but I am not happy. I am after marrying that good person to be happy. Still, I married him, but it turns that he is not the good person, and I am not happy. Okay, so let me have kids. Let me have kids, inshallah, I will be very happy. Okay, I have kids, and it turns that they are not the source of happiness. Okay, these are the false hope. Life is moving one day after another, 1 year after the second, and at the end, you know what happens is that you cannot link again with Allah. You are totally lost because your hopes are not a reality anymore. And you don't have a foundation in your spirit to support you. Okay? So if you look around you, you can notice how the people are living. Okay, sisters? So again and again, it is the doubt which is related to the Day of Judgment and the Paradise and the Hellfire, which is the motivator for the hypocrites, okay, to be, having this disease of the heart. And we must be always actually aware of this doubt. And inshallah, when we will learn how to avoid hypocrisy, we will learn in depth about the belief in the Day of Judgment. Now we will start to learn about the general characteristics of the hypocrites. Sisters, inshallah, we will start about the general characteristics of the hypocrites. Okay, and we will start with the first characteristic, which is that hypocrites have doubt regarding Allah's decree. They have doubt regarding the Day of Judgment, and also they have doubt about Allah's decree. Okay, we must know, sister, that the belief in Allah's decree is one of the fundamentals of the belief in Islam. I can't say I am a true believer except when I believe in Allah, in His messengers, in His books, in His angels, in the decree, the good and the bad, and in the day of judgment. If I am not a true believer in one of these six fundamental basics, I am not a true believer. Okay? The hypocrites are having a doubt regarding the decree of Allah. How? We will learn about that doubt from Surah number 18, verse number 11. Actually, it's Surah number 22, Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 11. Okay? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ومن الناس من يعبد الله على حرف فإن أصابه خير اطمأن به وإن أصابت فتنة انقلب على وجهه خسر الدنيا والآخرة ذلك هو الخسران المبين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And among mankind is he who worship Allah as it were upon the edge, i.e. in doubt. If good befalls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his face, i.e. reverts to disbelief after embracing Islam. He loses both this world and the hereafter. That is evidence. That is the evidence loss.
Actually, sisters, this is the hypocrite whose worship of Allah shown to be on the or on the borderline. What is the meaning of this and why he is worshipping Allah on the borderline? Because faith has not penetrated him. Okay? His worship is suspect. Hence, he moves unsteadily, liable to fall at the slightest push. When a hardship does befall him, it causes him to turn away completely. Okay? What is the meaning of this? The meaning is that, suppose I am a hypocrite, okay, I have a doubt about Allah's decree, okay, so when everything is good with me, my health is good, my family is good, everything is good, I believe in Allah, I follow Allah, I love Allah, I am in a very good shape. But if misfortune happens, for all hardship touches me, what is the meaning of this? I become sick, my daughter is not doing well, my husband is not treating me in a good way. Any of the hardships of the worldly life, okay, I quit. I'm not happy. I'm not accepting. What is going on? Why Allah is punishing me? This is not good. Okay? This is the edge. Okay? I can fall down very easily. Why? In the disbelief. Because my belief in the Allah's decree, okay, is not the true belief. Okay? Why this is not the true belief? Because, sister, we must know that belief is the mainstay of the believer's life. The world may be shaken here or there, but the believer stays his ground supported by his mainstay, that is to say, your faith. Events may pull him in this or that direction, but he remains firm in his belief. Okay? What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this, sister, is that when you believe from the depth of your heart in Allah's oneness, this means that you believe that everything in this life is run by Allah. You believe that the only power and will is the power and will of Allah. You believe that this worldly life is just deceiving enjoyment, and the day of judgment will come when I will be questioned by Allah about my deeds, then it is out of the mercy of Allah to send me to the eternal happiness, which is the paradise. When I believe in this, from the depth of my heart, you tell me, Sister Mona, you cannot be a doctor or a physician anymore, I tell you, no problem. Sister Mona, you may leave your family and you go and live, back in Egypt alone without your family, I tell you, this is the decree of Allah, I cannot change it, I am accepting it. Sister Mona, you will have very little money to eat and to drink only, we will take your car and everything, I tell you, this is from Allah, it must be the mercy for me, I am accepting. But if you come and tell me, Sister Mona, you cannot be a true believer anymore, I tell you, no. Take from me everything. Leave for me my belief in the oneness of Allah. You tell me why? I tell you because this is the only support for me to live in the worldly life. Without my belief in Allah, I cannot get out of my bed. I can't. I will be totally unable to move. You tell me why, Sister Mona? I tell you because my belief in the oneness of Allah is the source of my tranquility, my peace, my power, my reassurance. My spirit is living through the belief in the oneness of Allah. Because I am believing that He is taking care of me. He is supporting me. He will always defend me. He will provide me. He will cure me. Okay? I cannot live without the belief in the oneness of Allah. This is, you know, sisters, when you have this kind of belief, and then you believe that this worldly life is a test, this means that hardships are part of our worldly life. So when hardships will touch me, you tell me, Sister Mona, what you will do now? I tell you, patience and acceptance. You tell me patience and acceptance, I tell you yes, because this hardship is for my sake. Allah wants me to show my patience, because Allah mentions in the Quran that those whom they have patience, they will be rewarded without limits. So at the age of my life, Allah wants to reward me without limit. So I am accepting the hardship of Allah, and I am patient, and I will be, inshallah, patient, having the patience. You tell me, what is the source of your patience? I tell you, the source of my patience is the belief in the oneness of Allah, the belief in the Day of Judgment, and my supplication to Him. I am calling on Him day and night to support me with the patience, because through my patience, I can be still a true believer in the oneness of Allah, and I can accept the hardship, because it is from Him, not from any human being. If it is from any human being, I will not be able to accept the hardship. But if it is from Him, the most merciful, my Lord, the one who is taking care of me, okay, I am accepting this hardship from Him, because everything from Allah is good for me. But I don't know. I am a human being, limited knowledge. But He knows. And He promised those whom they obey Him to make them to have a good life. So Allah is the only one who fulfills His promises. I am sure that my life now is good. In spite of the fact of this hardship, Sister Mona, yes. Because maybe if I don't have this hardship at that time of my life, maybe I will become arrogant. Maybe I will forget about my religion. Maybe something will happen to me. Allah knows my nature. Accordingly, He put me in this hardship at that time so that I will be patient and I will be, inshallah, rewarded without limits. This is Allah. And also, sisters, Allah wants to listen to my supplication. Because when life is easy, we are not calling on Him all the time. But we call on Him from the depths of our heart at the time of hardships. And this is one of the reasons of the hardships, is that Allah is checking about us. We will actually go to Him, we will start to call Him, we will have our belief in Him. True belief, we will never lose our trust in His mercy. Okay, so sisters, inshallah, I'm sure 100% that the most merciful wants me to have unlimited reward during this hardship. And I am sure that in the proper time, Allah will end that hardship. And Allah promised us in the Quran that after every hardship, there is ease. After each hardship, there is ease. I am looking for the ease, and while I am looking for the ease, I am receiving the unlimited reward because of my patience. This is, sisters, how the true believer is believing in Allah's decree, and how he can accept the hardships and the trials in his or her life. But those whom they are hypocrites, okay, they are their belief or faith is very weak. As if I am standing on the edge of the table. If everything is good, I am fixed. If there is hardship, I will fall down. Okay. Now we will learn also, sisters, regarding the hypocrites and the belief in Allah's decree to have a more clear, you know, a more clear knowledge, we will read from Surah number 29, Surah Al-Ankabut, verse number 10 and 11, so that inshallah we can be always from the true believers whom they believe from the depth of their hearts regarding Allah's decree. You know, this is the mercy of learning the meaning of the Quran. Because everyone is having hardship at a time of her life. You know, this is the nature of the worldly life. But when I realize that this hardship is for my sake, that I can get the best reward out of this hardship, that there is ease after that hardship, that I can do more supplication to Allah during the hardship, I am never alone, inshallah. This will make me to accept. And this acceptance, sisters, okay, will protect your immunity from the effect of the hardship. Because hardship means sadness, means depression, means loneliness, okay? All these factors are pressurizing our immune system. And they cause the illnesses which are around us, especially all types of cancer. All types of cancer now are related to immunity. Immunity is related to the spirit. Not only that I must eat organic food, or I must sleep early, or I am not supposed to smoke. No, these are important factors. But the most important factor regarding to the immune system, okay, is your psychological condition. The more you are stable psychologically, the more you are accepting the decree of Allah, the more you are in a good mood, the more your immune system is stable. And the opposite is correct. The more I am not accepting, the more I am frustrated, the more I am sad and depressed, this means that continuous destruction of your immune system. So we must realize that the most merciful is sending for us the cure for the hardships of our worldly life in His book, in His words. This is the cure. Patience and acceptance, looking for the hope, looking for the ease, becoming closer to Him, are all the factors which can protect your immune system during the hardships. And you learn all these factors only from the book of the Creator, who creates us and knows how we can protect ourselves and how we can be cured, inshallah. Now we will read from Surah number 29, verse number 10 and 11, to learn about the hypocrites and their relation to Allah's decree. Add another important pointer regarding to, you know, how the true belief can save your immune system. Okay? You know, sisters, when I start to believe that acceptance and patience will help me during the hardship, the more I believe in this, the more it will become my habit, gradually. It needs time. At the beginning, it will not be easy to have acceptance and patience when hardships befall me. But by time, I will have the experience of patience and acceptance. So, for example, 20 years ago, when I was in faculty of medicine and I was studying and it was not easy for me, I was not having patience or acceptance. If I study, you know, a lot, then I don't have good grades. I was always frustrated. Oh Allah, why? I studied a lot. I must have the best grades. But when I start to learn, you know, the reality of the belief in the oneness of Allah, I start to train myself regarding patience and acceptance. So 15 years ago, I was at the beginning of having the patience and acceptance regarding the hardships. Now, after 15 years, it is part of my habits. Whenever there is hardship or I expect hardship, okay, I prepare myself with patience and acceptance. Before the hardships befall me, I start to say to myself, Mona, life is a test. Mona, anything can happen. Mona, patience is with patience you will have unlimited reward. Mona, Allah always chooses the best. And there is also another important fact which we believers must always remember. One of the companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second ruler after Prophet Muhammad, okay, he said, whenever there is a hardship, I am always thankful to Allah. So they asked him, why you are thankful to Allah with every hardship? He said, because number one, that hardship could be bigger than this. But Allah make it to that limit. Okay? For example, suppose that today I lost the vision in one of my eyes. For example, this is a great hardship, but it can be bigger than this. There was a possibility that I will lose the vision in both my eyes. Suppose it happens like this. Can I prevent it? No, no one can prevent the decree of Allah. So whenever there is a hardship, I must be thankful that Allah has the power to make it greater than this. But all praise to Allah that this hardship is up to that limit. This is number one. Number two, as true believers in the oneness of Allah, believing that our belief is the most important gift in our life, whenever I have hardship, for example, that I lost the vision in one of my eyes, I must be thankful to Allah that my hardship is not in my religion. What is the meaning of this? This means that I must be thankful to Allah that the hardship is in one of my eyes, but I am not one of the hypocrites. Okay, I didn't leave Islam. Okay, I am not against Islam. Okay, my belief is in the best shape. Okay, the hardship didn't touch my belief. Okay, it touches one of my eyes, or I lost vision in one of my eyes, I have the other one. With my true belief, okay, I can still recite the Quran. I can still listen to the Quran. But the most important is my heart, my spirit. And my spirit and the heart are having the true belief, all praise to Allah. Number three, sisters, to be thankful when you have any hardship is that when we have the hardship, okay, we can say there are words in the Quran which I will show it to you now. One verse of the Quran, you say, to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Okay, when you say this, okay, Allah will reward you in the hardship. So now the hardship becomes, okay, a source of reward from Allah. Okay, so this means that I must be thankful to Allah regarding the hardship. It is not bigger than this. It is not in my religion. I will say to Allah, we belong and to Him we shall return. And I will be rewarded for this hardship. Maybe that hardship is my way to paradise. This is the only good thing I did in my life. Okay, that during the hardship I accepted it, and all the time I am saying to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Let me show this first where it is in the Quran so that you can memorize these words, and whenever any hardship comes to you, you say to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. What is the problem? If I lose my eye, I will lose all my body. I will lose myself. I shall return to Him. If He takes my eye now, no problem. I will return to Allah. This means that I am accepting. If I am accepting, I am rewarded. Okay? Now, sisters, from Surah number 2, verse number 155, 156, 157, in order to realize that accepting the hardships from Allah will be the way for the reward of Allah. We will read now. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ.
155.
It's 56 and 56.
Okay. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives, and fruits. But give glad tidings to As-Sabilun, the patient, who when afflicted with calamity says, truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. They are those on whom salawat i.e. who are blessed and will be forgiven from their road. And there are those who receive his mercy, and it is they who are the guided one.
Okay. So verse number 166 is that whenever you are afflicted with calamity, we must say, truly to Allah we belong, and truly to him we shall return. You will be blessed, and you will be forgiven, and you will receive Allah's mercy, inshallah, and you are from the guided ones. Now, we will again learn about the hypocrites and the belief in Allah's decree, to compare that belief with the belief of the true believers. Surah number 29, verse number 10 and 11. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من الناس من يقول آمنا بالله فإذا أوذي في الله جعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله ولئن جاء نصر من ربك ليقولن إنا كنا معكم أوليس الله بأعلم بما في صدور العالمين وليعلمن الله الذين آمنوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of mankind are some who say, we believe in Allah, but if they are made to suffer for the sake of Allah, they consider the trial of mankind as Allah's punishment. And if victory comes from your Lord, the hypocrites will say, verily, we are with you, helping you. It's not Allah best aware of what is in the breast of the Alameen, mankind and jinn. Verily, Allah knows those who believe, and verily, he knows the hypocrites, i.e. Allah will test the people with good and hard days to discriminate the good from the wicked, although Allah knows all that before putting them to test.
Okay. Actually, okay, those hypocrites, they declare their belief when things look bright. They think that accepting Allah's faith is easy, but when any of them is made to suffer in Allah's cause, thus they panic and their standards and values become confused, as I mentioned to you, sisters. Their faith is shaken. They imagine that nothing could be worse than the oppression they are suffering, the calamity which they are living. This is the worst in life. They wonder why they should endure such suffering when Allah's punishment could not be any worse. Thus do they equate hardship caused by man with God's punishment, and this is actually something which no one can estimate. What is the meaning of this verse of the Quran? The meaning is that, sisters, those hypocrites, when life is good, okay, this means that faith is good, we love Allah. But when they have calamities, they become so frustrated, or their values are confused. And they are under the impression that what I am living in this worldly life now, this hardship, is equal to the punishment of Allah. Okay? They make the punishment of Allah equal to the punishment of the worldly life. And actually, you know, this is the biggest mistake regarding the hypocrites. Because Allah's punishment can never be compared with the human being punishment. Allah's punishment is the eternal life in the hellfire, which no one can imagine and can tolerate. But the hypocrites, out of their ignorance, they say, they always believe that when they have calamity in this worldly life, our life is so miserable. This is similar to Allah's punishment on the Day of Judgment, because they are ignorant and they don't know anything. Okay? Again, when the situation alters somewhat in their favor, they claim to have always been with the believers. Okay? They forget that Allah knows of what is in their hearts. And actually, they forget that Allah knows the true believers and the hypocrites. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that if the sisters in the masjid are in a good shape, I am with them. If they are not in a good shape, I am not with them. Okay? This means that I forget that Allah knows my reality, the deceive of Allah, which you mentioned at the beginning of the class. We must learn, sister, that the point that separates the true believer from the hypocrites is that the believer never loses the trust in Allah during hardships, okay, and at ease. And this is the separation between the hypocrite and the true believer. Okay, as I clarified to you in full detail. Now we will learn about the second characteristics of the hypocrites, which is arrogance and the spread of corruption. We will read from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 204, 5 and 6. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يعجبك قوله في الحياة الدنيا ويشهد الله على ما في قلبه وهو ألد الخصام وإذا تولى سعى في الأرض ليفسد فيها ويهلك الحرث والنسل والله لا يحب الفساد وإذا قيل له اتق الله أخذته العزة بالإثم فحسبه جهنم ولبئس المهاد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And of mankind there is he whose speech may please you, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, in this worldly life, and he calls Allah to witness as to that which is in his heart. Yet he is the most quarrelsome of the opponents. And when he turns away from you, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, his effort in the land is to take mischief therein, and to destroy their crops and their cattle, and Allah likes not mischief. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, he is led by arrogance to more crime. So enough for him is hell, and worst indeed is the place to rest.
Actually, sister, these verses of the Quran introduces a person who portrays himself as the role model of goodness, sincerity, love, dedication, compassion, forgiveness, and purity of the heart. Those people can easily mislead, and for good measure they would cite Allah as witness to what is in their hearts. In reality, they are the opposite. Their hearts are filled with hatred, with no room for love, compassion, or tolerance. Such two-faced people are totally dishonest. When put to test, their true personality is revealed evil. As they go about their daily work, these people don't do nothing but spread evil and damage the human and material resources of society. How? Their actions are a true and accurate reflection of the evil contained inside themselves. They are resistant to advice and reform, and they never fear Allah. They take pride in spreading evil and corruption with no sense of guilt. The portrait is thus complete. The example is clear, true to life, and you can recognize it at any time and in every society. This contention and lack of shame are met with appropriate punishment, which would be more than sufficient retribution. Hell is the most terrible of all punishment. It is their resting eternal place. Okay, so this is the second characteristic of the hypocrites. Number one, again, I will tell you, sisters, they are ignorant, they are arrogant, okay? And what is related to their arrogance, actually, which me personally I noticed regarding those hypocrites, is that they are resistant to advice and to reform. Okay? Because, you know, sisters, if you are a true believer in the oneness of Allah, in reality, from the depth of your heart, you will be always looking to improve yourself. So when someone will come and tell me, Sister Mona, for example, today you were nervous, I will tell her, do you think so, sister? I am very sorry. Please forgive me. maybe, you know, I have some problems at home, but I was trying, you know, to not to show, you know, that I have problems, but unfortunately it was clear. So I am very sorry. Immediately, you know, when someone will come to the true believer, inshallah, we all true believers, and try to, you know, guide you to a mistake, okay, or a different point of view, you will accept it, okay, and you will be very thankful. Why? Because my goal is to improve myself. My goal is to have, you know, a healthy heart. My goal is that Allah will be pleased with me. I don't want to come to the class to give hard time to the sisters or to be nervous or all of this. No, no, this is not my goal. So I am very thankful if I am a true believer, because my goal is Allah, okay? But if my goal is not Allah and I am arrogant and my goal is the people, okay, and then one of the sisters will tell me, Sister Mona, you were nervous today. I tell her, what? No, 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 sister. Try to check yourself first, okay? Don't talk to me in this way at all, okay? Why? Because I am resistant to advice. Immediately, when you discuss with people, and then you notice that some of them are resistant to advice, whenever you start to give advice, because you are elder, because you have more experience, because of many reasons, they start to resist. This is number one. Okay, resist the advice and resist the reform. No, 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 no. I was not nervous, and I will come with this attitude every class, and this is my attitude. If you like it, well and good. If you don't like it, it is your problem. So this means that you are a hypocrite. That's all. Okay? And when you realize that the one in front of you is hypocrite, okay, don't mention that to those people. Because again, they will, you know, resist the advice and the reform. They will start to make problems for you. Why? Because you know the reality. Okay? So what is the best is that I know that person, okay, this is enough for me. I have to have a space with that person and never to give that person any advice. Why? Because they resist the advice and resist the reform. Okay? So this is how you live with those people at every time and in every society. This is the hypocrisy which will be within the Muslims until the Day of Judgment. Inshallah, Allah will be the one to punish them. What is the punishment of Allah? Hell. Which the hypocrites never evaluate correctly. They are under the impression that hell, because they have doubt in the hell and in the paradise, hell is like the punishment of the worldly life. Unfortunately, you are a hypocrite. You don't know the reality of the paradise or the hellfire. So wait and see what Allah will make for you, your resting place. We will stop here, inshallah, and we will continue next week with the characteristics of the hypocrites. And inshallah, let us make the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahim. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. Oh Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the Day of Judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.